This podcast is an unedited excerpt from an MCLE program presented at MCLE's Conference Center in Boston, Massachusetts. Get 24/7 instant access to over 150 practice development e-lectures and more with a subscription to the MCLE Online Pass. Learn more at www.mcle.org/onlinepass. Please note that MCLE's products, services, and communications are offered solely as an aid to developing and maintaining professional competence. The statements in this recording may not apply to your circumstances, and no legal, tax, accounting, or other professional advice is being rendered by MCLE or its speakers. For full terms and conditions, please see the MCLE website.
Mentioned that earlier. Obviously, you know, Mass Lomap, you can come sit down with us. We'll, you know, a lot of what we do is we sit down with people and we listen to, you know, what's going on in your practice. You know, where are you having difficulties? You know, where are you finding stress? And then let's figure out, you know, where some of that waste or where can we sort of clean things up so that we can streamline, and then what's the right fit in terms of the product, or maybe we give like a recommendation of a few different products, right, to look into. With any of this stuff, you know, I would definitely shop around, right? There's so many. Again, that's why it's helpful to ask like friends and colleagues, like, what are you using? What do you really like? They're all these products, they're all at like conferences and trade shows, right? So like I chair the ABA tech show, which is later this month, and it's a fantastic place to learn about all the technologies, new and old. And one of the things we do is we have this huge expo floor, and it's, you just go from booth to booth learning about all these new, these technologies and all these companies that are around, and there's like hundreds of thousands of them now. So those are all good places to look.
Yep. So it's, I agree, and the bar associations and stuff like that, like I said, they're really good for discounts.
Yes.
So I'm very big into like having discounts for these services, especially the bigger companies. Chances are they'll do it. Maybe the smaller ones, you're not going to ask your paralegal for a discount.
Right.
You know what I mean? But the bigger companies,
right,
ask.
Right. Yeah. No. Definitely. Definitely. That's good. All right.
So vetting. And I think that we've touched on this before. Mm-hmm. But how do you vet these people?
Yeah.
If it's big companies. Mm-hmm. If you're outsourcing to individual people, how do you vet people?
Right.
Common questions: have you worked with law firms before? Have you done this particular area? If you're outsourcing some paralegal work or mm-hmm. contract attorneys
yep.
that are coming to work for you, how many clients do you have? Meaning, basically, how busy are you? Mm-hmm. Right. How responsive are you to my questions?
Mm-hmm.
How responsive are you to changing parameters of the outsourcing that we're doing?
Mm-hmm.
Which goes to devoting the time that you need to work on it. I would always ask for work product samples if you're outsourcing to attorneys.
Mm-hmm.
Just because they're out there outsourcing themselves doesn't mean they could do, just like with anything else. There's
right.
good, there's bad.
Right.
Right? You also want it to sort of, and maybe it's not bad, but it doesn't fit your firm's style,
mm-hmm.
you know? And that's why there's all these different services, too, or that does this exact same thing. It's a styling and personal choice sometimes what the fit is. I don't think you should be afraid to ask for some samples of work.
Right.
And
references.
References.
There's no reason why you can't get a reference.
Yeah. Whether or not, if they're doing this on an ongoing basis for other attorneys too, do they have procedures set up? Because I think asking them about whether or not they have procedures will tell you how organized they are.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not they're going to, for example, maybe accidentally break confidentiality
right.
for stuff or accidentally disclose client information.
Right.
If they're a mess and they're... You know what I
yeah.
mean? There's something being
yeah.
said about that.
Right.
Don't
right.
be. I don't think you should be afraid to ask all the relevant questions. And if it doesn't work out, that's the good thing about these outsourcing things, you can always change.
Yeah.
You're not committed to one product, right? A lot of the big companies, for example, they'll give you trial periods too,
right,
that you can try them out.
Right.
So don't think that, you know, you sign up for it and you're now locked in for like the rest of your life or for a year. Most of these places have trials.
Right. And that's the great thing about
it. Take advantage of it.
Yeah, about all.
Or try different things.
Yeah, exactly. You're not stuck with the physical person.
Absolutely.
You know, and I think, you know, we talked about this, we mentioned this earlier, is like their terms of service and their user agreements. You know, those are all things that you should be looking at. You know, I talk about this when we look at technology and any sort of third party service, but you should be reading through that. Like, if they're storing your information, your client's information, right? Where are they storing it? You know, do they have a server? Is it secure?
Are there backups?
Right.
Right. If they go down, and you're relying on them.
Yes.
Do you lose everything?
Where's your information?
Who owns that data?
Yeah. Exactly.
Right? So we have this tendency now to just trust that all the cloud stuff is going to be okay, but they get hacked every once in a while.
Yeah.
So do you have backups for them?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, I think that's
it. So last couple of minutes, I think just to sum up some takeaway points.
Yeah.
We provided so much information, I think, in these 2 hours, right? If you were to just take away a couple of points, what do you think they should be?
I think one, everyone should engage in the exercise that we posed up front. And I love the way that you put it, which was go through your day and track every single thing in your day that you're doing. And what you could even do is like do something like put a smiley face next to things that you like, you know, and a frown next to things that you don't. So that one, right, you understand, you have a sense of where you're spending your time all day long, right? All the different tasks that you have to do and whether you like those tasks. And then you can figure out, you know, are there tasks that fit in to these buckets that we've talked about? Because as we've mentioned that there's a bucket for, you know, there's someone that can do pretty much everything that you do. And so
doesn't mean you should outsource everything.
Doesn't mean but if you can
identify it.
Exactly. And so I think that that's definitely a helpful, I think that that's one takeaway that I would definitely point people to. I think probably, you know, understanding management and supervision, you know, and your obligation to be a supervisor, and that doesn't necessarily, you know, that's not going to just mean sort of relying on this professional to do it, but that you have to be thoughtful about it. Supervision is really important. I've definitely seen, actually recently, I've seen a bunch of disciplinary cases that have to do with supervision. And a lot of times it's the solo and small firms because you've never gotten any training on how to supervise and how to manage other people. But this is managing other people.
You have to learn to be a business owner.
Right.
And not an associate.
Right.
A lot of attorneys, I think, come out as somebody's associate, and they start their own practice.
And do the work.
They keep doing the same work that they were doing as an associate.
Yeah.
They never change that mentality to a partner or an owner.
Right. Right.
So for me, the takeaway, I think, is we talk a lot about work-life balance, you know, and we talk a lot about the work part of work-life balance. And I really like that today we got to spend some time on the life part of work-life balance. Mm-hmm. When we identify, as you were saying, what are we spending our time on and doing, not only in the work part, but in the life part, right? Because some attorneys don't have that problem where they're working all the time. Mm-hmm. I know tons of attorneys that, because they have family obligations and stuff like that, actually don't have enough time to work.
Right.
So their life actually is a lot more costly, quote-unquote, than their work, and they now need to find some time to do work. So that's why the identifying all these things that you're doing from the time you wake up to the time you go to bed is really helpful, because, you know, or if you're spending a ton of time cleaning your house, for example, you can outsource that. You know, it doesn't mean you have to, because I know tons of people also that love it, and you should keep it, because that's a cathartic exercise for you. That's something that you don't have to think about, and you that winds you down. I know people like that. You should keep it.
Yeah.
You know, but identify
yeah.
and then think about what it is that you want to outsource, and just pick a couple of things. My other thing also is this, the same takeaway I have for any of these law practice management stuff is, these are a lot of new concepts, a lot of new companies, a lot of new ideas out here.
Mm-hmm.
Stop thinking about reasons why you can't do something.
Right.
Open up your mind
right.
and think about how it can be done. You're using the exact same amount of energy.
Yeah.
So think about it from a more positive, life-changing viewpoint.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people get stuck on the ethics, like, can I use this service? Is it okay to use this? Can I outsource? You know, and a lot of what's happening here, it's no different than anything in the past. I mean, it's not like this is not some sort of, I don't know, it's not some sort of earth-shattering thing. It's just that we're taking things off of our plate. And so I think all of this is still sort of defined under, again, those major aspects of the rules, which is confidentiality and, again, supervision. And so if you make sure that, again, you read the rules and you understand what your obligations are, you know, they're most likely, most of these companies like Ruby Receptionist, like they're not quote-unquote like per se unethical. They're not. Like it's going to be in terms of how you use them and your relationship with them. So I like your point that, like, you know, let's be forward thinking, and let's not get stuck, because I think we definitely have a tendency, you know, we're attorneys, we're risk averse, right?
Yeah.
And that's our tendency. But you know, you think about how much this can impact your practice and you personally. It's a no-brainer, I think.
So. Well, thank you so much for coming out. If people want to ask more questions, they can go to the LOMAP.
Absolutely.
And LCL site, I think
yes.
that's a great resource.
Yes.
So anything else, go to LOMAP or ask your friends, like we were saying. So
absolutely.
Thank you so much.